2. Cargo. This is not now. This is then. This is when she was caged away from everything she had ever known. Skoya sits on the floor, breathing slowly, listening to the voices of those trapped here with her. They don't speak often. Few of them know one another, and no one has any answers to offer to the others. Sometimes there are brief outbursts of fury that begin with the aggressors beating their hands bloody on the sealed metal doors, and end with them sinking, weak-limbed and no freer, to the floor. Others give in to despair and wail or weep quietly alone, which achieves just as much, just as little, as angry defiance. At first there had been a sense of community and shared suffering, when the villagers and townspeople came to realize they were all ancestor speakers and witch priests, taken in a harvest tithe up into the belly of an imperial spaceship. But the days became weeks, then months, and the cargo hold grew cramped with more and more people. These spoke in different languages and came from different worlds, and soon enough everyone was weak and weary enough to see out their suffering alone. Astropaths, another man declares. He too is from another world. Astropaths. We are to be trained as astropaths. You will see. You shall see. Astropaths. He repeats the word as if it were talismanic. Skoya isn't certain if he seeks to reassure the others or convince himself. Whatever the truth, she has no conception of his meaning. He doesn't answer when anyone asks him. The spirits are silent, have been silent since she first looked up and saw the dead-eyed woman above her, back in the forest. Not once has Skoya heard their whispers, perhaps because they are the ghosts of her own planet and she's far from home, or perhaps because she has been severed from the wheel of life by the soulless women who crew this vessel. Servitors bring them their food in strange sealed pouches. The food is a rendered brown paste that tastes of nothing natural. Skoya has to force it down with a wash of the powdery water that tastes of machinery and recycle processing. The more violent souls among the captive community have tried to kill the servitors before, but several of the soulless women now stand watch each ration hour. They remain by the doors with their blades held in their hands and bulky pistols that eternally sigh with the threat of breathing fire. Approaching them is impossible. Anyone who tries is racked with cramps and sickness, vomiting onto the deck, seemingly poisoned for hours afterwards. One man collapsed and didn't wake for 3 days.
Devils, some of the captives call the eagle-tattooed women. Banshees, husks, undead.
Each culture has its own words for the creatures that have captured them.
They have no sixth sense,
explains one of the others in a bizarrely accented variation of Gothic. Skoya can follow his words if she concentrates.
No anima, no psychic capability.
She looks away, saying nothing. His words are without meaning or relevance. She knows the only truth that matters, that these women have no souls. The ship often shakes around them, buffeted by the eddies of its voyage through the galaxy. It does so now, but more violently than ever before. Nervous voices begin to clamour. Wide eyes meet other open gazes. The turbulence is enough to send the captives sprawling. Some of them collide with the iron walls, and their voices rise higher, bordering upon panic in proto- or post-Gothic languages Skoya can't understand. Those that she can are mumbling of crashes and attacks and their own helplessness.
"We are not crashing," she says aloud.
The men and women nearest to her turn and stare. She swallows her own fear in the face of theirs.
I think we are landing,